This is With Intrepid Heart Sermons, sermons preached by Reverend Adam Moline at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. You can find our website at goodshepherdlincoln.org, and the texts for our sermons each week follow the historic one-year lectionary. Let's listen in to today's sermon. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Our text tonight comes from the second lesson, especially these words. As they were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Thus far, our text. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus ascends into heaven. That's what we celebrate here tonight. Does that mean he's gone? Does that mean he's absent from our world? Does that mean then that we can do whatever we want, just like when mom and dad left you at home alone? You invited all the neighbors over. You played football in the living room. Well, Jesus has now ascended. Can't we do what we want? Jesus has ascended into heaven. But that does not mean that he has left us alone. He is taken from our sight, but he is still present. Yes, he is now taken up into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But he has not abandoned his world or left it alone. In fact, even as he's at the right hand of God, his word still rings out in our world. It comes from the mouths of our pastors. It's recorded for us in the words of the blessed apostles. Jesus has ascended, but he's still here, in his word and in his sacraments. Jesus is present to bring us his comfort. He's present to give his peace to you. He's present to forgive you all of your sin. Jesus is hidden from our sight, but he's still here. He's here for you in the preaching of God's holy word. He's here for you in the waters of holy baptism, where God's word comes to you to cleanse you inside and out with mere plain water. Jesus is here for you in, with, and under bread and wine. And all of these things, the means of grace, bring Jesus into your presence, even if you cannot see him, even if he is hidden from your eyes. He is here. In these things, these means of grace, the Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper, you are connected to the Savior of all, who now sits at the right hand of God the Father, who intercedes for you with groanings too deep for words. You are in his presence, and he is here with you. The apostles understood this. Well, at least after the angels came and explained it. That's why they were so bold when they went out to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. They knew that as they preached Christ's word, Christ would be with them. That preached word, the gospel, And the sacraments that go with them are powerful. They do what they say. They forgive sins. They give you eternal life. They bring Jesus directly to you. Through these things, the means of grace, God calls the church into existence. Through these things, he does that without any work by you. The word and the sacraments bring the church into existence without any merit or worthiness in any of us. In fact, I will be so bold as to say that God and God alone calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the entire church on earth. He brings it into existence, into his presence. He is with his church, and his church is with him. The scriptures teach this. Saint Luke alludes to this in the entrance words of the book of Acts, where he says something to the effect of, the last book is about what Jesus began to do, and this book about the church is what Jesus continues to do. Jesus is in every page, every sentence in the book of Acts. He was present, just as he is still present with his church and with his people. We don't always believe that, do we? Sad to say, unbelief is so strong in our world, and sometimes even within us, that we cannot escape the condemnation of this text, where it says, Jesus rebuked the disciples for their unbelief and hardness of heart. Sometimes we too must be rebuked. God's word does just that. Speaks the truth to us about who we are apart from Christ. Stubborn sinners. Guilty people. Guilty before God. Guilty against one another. To be blunt, so often we don't believe that the gospel, that the means of grace of Jesus Christ will keep our churches going. Instead, what do we worry about? Whether or not our pastor is dynamic enough, or if his sermons are too long, or about what sort of leadership style he has. We struggle to believe that the means of grace are enough, that God is really present in them. And instead we wonder, will the new pastor be able to fill the shoes of the old pastor? And after a while, when we discover that our pastors themselves are sinful people, we get angry and we wander off to a new church. And there we stay until we find out that pastor and those people are sinful also. We're sinners. We're sinners. Dear friends in Christ, it's not just these things, there's more. Christ is present, sure. But things are tight financially. Why doesn't so-and-so give more money? If they would only do that, our congregation would really thrive. Is that trust in God's means of grace? You know, the only problem with our congregation is that it doesn't serve the right kind of coffee. It cuts the donuts in half. I want a whole donut. The carpets are the wrong color. The temperature is wrong. Fix these practical things, and then our congregation will succeed. Is that trust in Christ or in His means of grace? No. Behind all of it is sin. The same sin. Not trusting that Christ is present. Not trusting that God will build His church. We think that the means of grace are not enough for us. So we try to tickle our emotions into making us feel like real Christians. We listen to false teachers who tell us it's up to us rather than to trust in God's promises that He will do all that is necessary for our salvation. We seek a congregation that is pure and holy, as if there are no sinners in it. We rely more on our sight and our senses than God's word to determine what is right and what is wrong. We decide that God's word can't really mean that we sin. I'm not that bad. I'm a good person. Surely Jesus has bigger fish to fry than little old me. And thus our sinful nature morphs God's gifts into our own rational understanding. It sounds like this: it's easier to practice open communion even if Christ's word clearly says that whoever eats unworthily does so to their spiritual harm. Our world has no problem with online communion, even though the scripture says, do not neglect the gathering. Our world believes that baptism is just a symbolic gesture, even though Christ says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Some, especially here in our land, even believe that baptism is a work that we do for God, that He plays no part in it. We would rather believe the weak theology we see on TV or on the YouTube or read about in Joyce Meyer books or pan-Christian Bible studies than studying the truth of our own Christian faith. We justify it all to ourselves, saying, I don't see Jesus. Maybe He's not real. I don't see Jesus. Maybe I can do what I want. Is Christ hidden from our eyes, or does He not exist at all? All of us have struggled with those thoughts and ideas. Woe to us hard-hearted, stubborn people who do not believe the word of the resurrected Lord. Woe to us whose faith at times is superficial and worldly. Woe to us because our hearts love ourselves more than they love God. Woe to us who cling to our own opinions more than the word of God. Woe to us who despise our baptisms, who forsake the Lord's Supper, who put it off for years, as if Christ did not say, whoever does not believe will be condemned. Dear Christian, it is because of our stubborn, sinful, hardened hearts that Christ does what he does in our gospel lesson. It's because of our stubborn hearts that he sends out the 11 apostles, those who have seen and spoken to the resurrected Christ, those who have been eyewitnesses to everything that he has done, those to whom he has given his word to preach, breathed it out upon them, really. Christ sends them for us. And so off they go to the whole world, before kings and emperors, upon the Temple Mount, upon the Areopagus, to ears that were stubborn and hardened just like ours, to bring the presence of Christ to all the world. The apostles went out. God's word went with them. And the word and the sacraments did the work. Day by day, sermon by sermon, baptism by baptism, supper after supper, Christ was present. The word of Christ was written down for us for all time. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote it down for us to hear and to read. The word was faithfully copied, passed down year after year with the truth of salvation through Jesus alone, recorded by ink and pen. The word passed down where it was proclaimed finally into our ears, delivered into our stubborn and hard-hearted hearts. The word of Jesus in its truth and purity, preached by new preachers to break and crush your sinful heart, your selfish desires, your own wants. Christ's presence cuts out your idolatry and your fears. Christ's presence in his word kills your sinful nature. Christ's presence drowns your sins in the waters of baptism. And Christ's presence makes you alive. It breathes life into you. It comforts you. It forgives all of your sin. Christ's presence is here. It comforts you. It promises you eternal life. How? By feeding you the food of eternal life in with and under bread and wine, given for you, a Christian, to eat and drink, given to strengthen your faith. Christ is present. He's here. He brings what he has earned by his cross, death, and resurrection to you, so that you may live. Because he's alive, you will live. And so it is, that even though he may be hidden from our eyes, even though we look around and we see nothing more than stained glass depictions or paintings on a piece of wood, Christ is present. He's here. He sends his means of grace, word and sacrament to you. He did so before his ascension. He continues to do so now. He brings the church into existence. He brings you into that very church. He does it for you, sending his apostles. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And in these things, Christ is here and always shall be. For Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
That concludes today's sermon from Pastor Adam Moline. For more information about the Lutheran faith, check out our church website, goodshepherdlincoln.org. The title of this podcast, With Intrepid Heart, comes from the conclusion to the Book of Concord, where it is written, "This is our faith, doctrine, and confession, in which we also are willing, by God's grace, to appear with intrepid hearts before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of it." God's blessings on your day.